Begin the current daf, Masech the Sanhedrin of Samaches. Begin on the bottom line of Samach Zamin Beis, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah, Nav Samach Zayin Man Aleph, where the Mishnayos were describing the different categories of Niskal and those which get Skila. So the Mishnah described Hamachashiv, someone that practices sorcery, so if he does an action, he's going to be liable, but not if someone who just captures the eyes, or someone just does an illusion. Now, the Mishnah quoted, Amr Rebbe Kiva, V'chul Rebbe Kiva said, in the name of Rebbe Yeshua, that you could have two people that are gathering cucumbers. One gathers, he'll be exempt from the liability of Skila, and the other one who gathers will be liable. Why? Ha'isa ma'isa, if someone does an action, as we said, who actually does, gathers, it's not an illusion, he actually gathers the cucumbers through sorcery, then he's going to be liable for the death penalty of Skila. But if it's Eiches Senayim, if he's just capturing the eyes, it's an illusion, then, although that's forbidden, but Patri is going to be exempt. Now, that the Gemara continues in Tamas HaMaches Man Alv and brings an entire incident till the bottom of the Amid, which is going to be a question from that incident. Ask the Gemara, but Vaha, is that really true that this halacha of Lakitas Kishuan, of gathering the cucumbers, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shua Gamala? Did Rabbi Kiva learn those halachas of sorcery, which again in our Mishnah he differentiated how you gather, if you do it through an actual act of sorcery, then there's a liability for Skila, but if it's just an illusion, then you're not? He learned that from Rabbi Shua? But says the Gemara Batan in the Braisa, the Gemara is going to go through a narrative to the bottom of the Amid that's going to show us that he actually learned this from Rabbi Eliezer and not from Yeshua. The Braisa says as follows: Kishachal Rabbi Eliezer, when Rabbi Eliezer became ill, Nichnasu Rabbi Kiva v'chaver v'levakers. Rabbi Kiva and his colleagues came to visit him. Bikur Chaylam. Hu Yeshu Bikinuv Shaloi. Rabbi Eliezer was sitting in his canopy, which is on four pillars, and there's a curtain, a overhang on top of that, as the Gemara says, Masech Lesuka. The Hang Yeshu Mitrak and Shaloi, and they were sitting in his chamber, in his room. Now, Ve'oitza Yom Erev Shabbos. The day they came to visit was Friday, Erev Shabbos. Ve'nichnes Hurkenes Benoi Lachlitz Tfilov. Rabbi Eliezer's son Hurkenes came to take off his father's tefillin, because he held that Shabbos is not a time when we wear tefillin, which is a machlekes elsewhere, and it's forbidden to wear it, because maybe one might wear it and walk into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and since it's not a time of tefillin, it would be considered carrying on Shabbos in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so to avoid that problem, one has to take it off before Shabbos. But Garbai, his father got upset at him, why is he coming out to take off his tefillin? V'yatza ben Nazifa, and his son Hurkenes left, scorned from his father. Amalhen l'chaveirav, so Hurkenes said to his father's friends, Rabbi Kiva and his colleagues, K'medumani, shadaita shalaba nitrafa, it appears to me that my father's thought process is muddled, meaning he's really at his end, he's going to die soon, because had his mind been settled, he would have understood it. It's almost Shabbos, and you have to take off your tefillin. On that, Amalhen Rabbi Eliezer said to them, daitoi v'das imay nitrafa, what his thought process, his mother's thought process is muddled. Me? They think I'm the one that's losing it? They are. Heich manichin is a skila. How could they leave go of involving themselves with something which is a skila prohibition, which is lighting the Shabbos candles and putting away and insulating the warm items, which are forbidden to do on Shabbos? You got to take care of it now. It's Omer Shabbos. Light the candles, insulate the things which are in things which are not going to increase the heat, which you can't do that on Shabbos. And instead, Va'iskin, they're busy with something that's only Be'isr Shavuos, which is only rabbinic prohibition. Where if someone wears tefillin on Shabbos, there's no Isr Malacha. Even if someone walks out into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim wearing his tefillin, it's still a way of an adornment. It's like a way of clothing, because an adornment for a person during the weekday, at most it would be rabbinic prohibition. He says, I'm the problem? Why are you busy taking off my tefillin? Go light the candles and go do the Hatmana for Shabbos, which are Isur De'Raisa, and that are Ichi V'Skila, and don't be busy taking off my tefillin, which is a rabbinic Now, says the Gemara, Kimin Sharoch Chacham Shadait Mirshabas Lab. So once the sages, Rabbi Kiva and his friends, saw that his mind is very much settled, he was very much on the ball as he had responded to San Hurkenes. So Nichnasu, the Yashlefan the Merochi Dal Amas. So they came in and they sat in front of him at a distance of four Amas. The reason why they kept a distance of four Amas is because of the Nidu, the excommunication, which he was cursed by the Machlekes of the Oven of Achnoi, which is an incident brought in Bab Metzidah from the Testament Beis, where since he disputed all the sages and he didn't back down, they put him in Cherem, they excommunicate him. So Amalehem, Rabbi Eliezer said to them, Lama Basim, why do you come? Amalehem, they said to him, Luma Tarabon, we came to learn Tarab. Amalehem, he said to them, Va'ada Akshav Lomale Basim, why didn't you come up until now? Amalehem, they said to him, Lahoy Lon Pathai, we didn't have an opportunity. Amalehem, he said to them, Timeani, I wonder, Im Yemusim, he says, Asman, if they're going to die their own death. Mean that they're going to get killed. Amalei Rabbi Kiva said to them, Shalimahu, what's going to be by my death? Amalai said to him, Shalcha kasha mishalahen, your death is going to be worse than all of theirs. And as we know, the Gemara Bracha says, where his flesh was combed with iron combs, because your heart is open like an antechamber. And had you served me, you would have learned a lot of Torah, and that's your fault, and there's going to be a great punishment for that. So the Gemara tells that Natal, Brisa says, that Rabbi Laza took Shtezer Isav, his two arms, V'nichan Aliba, and he put it over his heart, over his chest. Amar, he said, Oy lechem Shtezer Isav, woe to you, my two arms, Shehenke Shtezer Torah Neglon, which they're like two Torah scrolls that are rolled up, which is when the Torah scroll is rolled up, the writing that's on the scroll is covered over. So too, the Torah that's in my heart is concealed and hidden when I'm going to pass away, because no one served me and learned from me enough Torah. As he says, Harba Torah Lamadati, Harba Torah Lamadati. It's a lot of Torah that I learned and a lot of Torah that I taught. Harba Torah Lamadati, but although I learned a lot of Torah, V'lechisarti mirabaisai, I did not diminish from my teachers according to their wisdom, which is great. All that I learned from them did not diminish from them, and all the wisdom that I received from them. In other words, from what originally they were greater than me, even now when I learned so much Torah from them, they're still so much greater than me, because all I learned from them was just a little bit in contrast to how much they know. And that's afilik kikelav hamalakik minayam. It's even like a dog who just laps away, licks away at the waters of the sea, which that's nothing, that's insignificant. So although he's drinking tons and tons, it's nothing. So to me, although I learned so much from my teachers, it's nothing in comparison to the wisdom that they had. And so too regarding my students. Harbatari madati. There's a lot of Torah that I taught. V'lichesroini tamidi, but my students did not diminish. In other words, they did not receive from my wisdom to diminish the differential that of the wisdom that I have over them. Elikimekhil b'shveferis, rather like the one dip of an applicator into the container, which is a container like when one puts in some type of a makeup, which is in this cylindrical container of made out of wood or silver, where you put the applicator inside and you dip it in one time, you take it out. It's very little that gets onto the applicator. That's how much my students took from me. V'loyoro, not only that, he was lamenting how much Torah he's going to pass away with that the world did not learn from him. Elishani sheinis shalish meis halachas bebeheres azah. He says, I learned 300 halachas regarding a strong Baharis, basically by the halachas of different types of visuals of a nega. No one even asked me about it. All the Torah is going to be lost with me when I pass away. Not only that, but I also know 300 halachas. Some say that he said 3,000 halachas. With planting of cucumbers, which are halachas regarding different types of sorcery, that through sorcery one could go ahead and fill up the whole field just like that with cucumbers. And no one even asked me about these halachas, except for Akiva ben Yosef, who is Rabbi Akiva, where Blazer said, one time me and him were walking on the road, and Omar Lee said to me, Rabbi Lamdeni ben Tis Kishun, he says, my teacher, teach me regarding the planting of the cucumbers through sorcery. So Rabbi Blazer says, I said something, and the entire field was filled up with cucumbers. So Mali, so Rabbi Kiva said to me, Rabbi, my teacher, Lamadatani Nityasan, so you taught me how to plant it with sorcery. Lamdeni Akirasan, teach me how to uproot it with sorcery. So Marti Davachar, I said one thing, and the Skabzukul Makamech, they were all gathered into one place. So that's what he was lamenting. He was telling these people, he says, these Tamil Chacham, he says, what a loss, I'm going to pass away, and you all didn't come to learn from me. But Amr Lai, so the sages, Rabbi Kiva and his Chavev, who came to Rabbi Eliezer, they said to him the following questions. Hakadur, regarding a bull, which is covered with leather, and inside it has ram's wool that's pressed in tight to make it into a bull, to keep that the form of the bull. And so too V'ha'imus, which is, in Talmudic times, the form that a shoe was made on, was made out of leather, like a shoe, and inside it was filled with hair, and the opening it was sealed shut, and on that is what they would make shoes on, with like in Rashi's times it was done with a form of wood, and then on that they would make the shoes. On the times of the Talmud, they would do it with a thing made out of leather, and v'hakameya, an amulet made out of leather, and inside it's filled in with something, and that's hung on the neck for beauty. Or b'tzroah hamargolis, and these are all similar cases regarding items that are made out of leather, and there's something inside of it, which tzroah hamargolis means the pearl that's closed up, where they would seal a pearl inside of leather, and they would hang it on the neck of an animal for medicinal purposes. Umishkelis kitana, or a small weight like unkia, which is a very small weight, which they would make out of lead, and they would cover it with leather so that it shouldn't get diminished and depreciated. But a large weight is not; they don't usually cover it with leather because it's not such a significant difference regarding the large weight. So regarding all these cases, they asked him, "Mahu, what's the halacha?" Why were they asking these cases? Because it was in these cases that Rabbi Eliezer disagreed with the Chacham that's brought in Masechtas Kelim on the 23rd Perek, that the Chacham say in all these cases, these items, not makabel tuma. Why? Because a leather utensil is not makabel tuma unless if it has what's called a base kibble, it has a receptacle. And the reason is because the pasuk compares leather to sack, to a sackcloth. Just like a sackcloth is something that has a receptacle, so too leather is only makabel tuma if it has a receptacle. Now, all these items, since the receptacle part is made to always be full and closed up, so therefore it's not considered that it has a receptacle because it's sealed shut. Now, Eliezer says it is makabel tuma because even though the receptacle is made to always be full and be closed, it still has a receptacle and therefore it is makabel tuma. Now, additionally, there was a machlokes that they had regarding, let's say, this bowl and regarding this the shoe form that the shoes were made on. If it's torn open and then you see the cavity, the Rabban agree, so now it's makabel tuma because now there's a base kibble, it's open. Now, but then there's a machlokes they have regarding tevila, regarding immersing it if it becomes tuma. The Chacham say whatever's inside, let's say that bowl, so all that wool that's there is a chatzitza, it's something inside the leather container, and you would have to take it out to immerse it. Eliezer says, no, whatever's inside is not chaitzitz, because it's all considered one receptacle. Now, at the time that Rabbi Eliezer was passing away, Rabbi Kiva and his chavim wanted to know, did he retract? And therefore they asked him, what do you say regarding these two machloikis that we know that you had in your lifetime? So Amalhani responded to them, he says, hein tameim, all these items you asked me about, which all have a common denominator, they are tamei even when it's whole. And when the tumah touches on the outside, he considers it that even though it's sealed shut, it is considered as a base kibble. That pearl that's inside or that amulet, whatever it is that's inside the leather, is considered a receptacle, although it's sealed shut. And therefore, it is going to become tumah. And also, regarding the other machlokes of a tarasin b'mashehin, that to purify it is in all situations, meaning if it gets torn open, with a chacham agree that it is makabel tumah. And they disagree, however, on me that they say whatever it's filled in with is a chatzitza, it's an interposition. So he says, I maintain my position that what's the stuffing inside is not a chatzitza, and you could immerse it as it is. So they asked him, however, minol sha'al gabi ha'emez mahu, what's the halacha? And a related question, what's the halacha regarding a shoe that's on the shoe form? Where there's also machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham, as is brought into Sefta in Taharis. The Chacham say that since the shoe is not lacking any real work done to it that would require a craftsman, because now that the shoe is done, all you'd have to do is take it off the form. Even a regular person could take it off from that amos, from that form. So already the shoe already has a designation of a kli of a shoe on it, and therefore it's makabel tuma. Rabbi Eliezer says that it's tar because no, the work wasn't finished yet. It's not yet a complete kli because it wasn't taken off from the form. So they asked him, what would the halacha be in that case? Amalan, he said to them, hutar, again maintaining his position that it's tar, although the shoe is finished, but it's not yet finished because it wasn't taken off, and therefore it's tar. It tells the brice of a yotz nishmasi b'tahara, and his soul left in a state of purity, meaning when he said tar, his soul departed. So Amr b'shu adraglav Amr, so b'shu stood up on his feet and he said, hutra neder, the vow which was taken that was putting Rabbi Eliezer in excommunication is permitted. He released that vow of excommunication against Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Lamatza Shabbos, so this was on Erev Shabbos, so after Shabbos, Pogabay Rabbi Kiva encountered him where Rabbi Eliezer was min Kisari Lulud, that they were transferring the bed to bury Rabbi Eliezer, for they were taken from Kisari to Lud. And Rabbi Kiva encountered the funeral procession. Hayimaka bebisari, so he was banging on his flesh at shadame shayis la'aretz until his blood dripped down to the ground. Pasachalav b'shuris, Rabbi Kiva opened up by the procession of the row, which they would do around the coffin when they were taking to be buried, where they would then eulogize. So he opened up, and they said, "Apostim lochem beis, avi avi, my father, rechav Yisrael for Rashab, the chariot of the Jewish people and its horsemen, harba mois yeshli." Said in the way of an analogy, it says, there's a lot of money that I have to change. But I don't have a money changer to present them to. In other words, I have many questions, and now I have no one to ask them to. So that's the narrative of this brisa. But one thing asked the Gemara, but one thing we see is that, where did he learn, where did Rabbi Akiva learn these halachas of likitas kishum, of the gathering of the cucumbers through acts of sorcery? As this narrative brings it, it was from Rabbi Eliezer that he learned it. So how does our Mishnah say that he learned it from Rabbi Shua? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer. He learned it from Eliezer. V'loy Safra, but he didn't understand it fully. Hadagam Rabbi Shua, but then he learned it from later than from Rabbi Shua. The Azra Nalei and Rabbi Shua explained it from him, and that's why ultimately in our Mishnah he quotes a name of Rabbi Shua and not a name of Rabbi Eliezer. But the Gemara asks regarding the narrative that we mentioned, Hecha Ovid, how did Rabbi Eliezer do Hachi like this, where he asked, Rabbi Akiva asked him how to explain these halachas, and he did an act of Nitzias Kishun, of planting cucumbers through an act of sorcery, but Manan's not learned in our Mishnah, Ha'oisa Maisa Chai, whoever does an act of sorcery is liable for Skila. How did Rabbi Eliezer go ahead and do that? So the Gemara, Lehislamid, when Rabbi Eliezer was going ahead and to teach it to Rabbi Akiva, that Shani, that's different. Because the Amar Ma, like the Master said, explaining a Pasuk Devarim, Perkut Ches Pasuk Test, it says that when you're going to come to the land that Hashem, your God, is going to give you, it says, Leisilmad Lasis, you should not learn to do like the abominations of those people, which teaches you Lasis Yatalamad. You can't learn to do those actions. But you could learn what they did to understand and to teach to others, so that is Rabbi Eliezer was actually allowed to engage in these practices as a way of learning and understanding the halachas, which is necessary for prosecuting these types of individuals. Rabbi Akiva had to understand it. That's Rabbi Eliezer was able to do it, although one cannot do it, however, for the purposes of its own right of practicing and engaging in sorcery, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer was allowed to do it to teach Rabbi Akiva. Hadnalach Arba Misa, which shall return to the seventh parak of the Sanhedrin, parak Arba Mises. And with that we continue to Amud Beis, we begin the 8th parak of Masechta Sanhedrin, parak ben Sarah Mer. Now, this parak is an entire parak which continues the theme of the previous parak, which was talking about the order of those individuals that get skila. Here it concludes those halachas, but it has its own parak because there's that many halachas and Mishnayos on ben Sarah Mer, and therefore gives it its own parak, not like the other categories which had a Mishnah describing the halachas. So the Mishnah says, Ben Sarimur, the wayward and rebellious son, says the Mishnah, Me'emesai Nasa Ben Sarimur, from when does he become, what is the category of becoming a wayward and rebellious son? So says the Mishnah, it's Mishayabi Shtei Saris, it's when he brings two pubic hairs, but before that, he does not get punished, as I explained shortly, because before that, he's not considered an adult to be liable in the mitzvahs. Now, the Ad Sheyakev Zaken, and it's up until that the beard is totally encircled, where the beard goes around in a circle like a crown. But which beard are we talking about? Hatachtin, the lower region, the pubic area, that beard, Veloha Elyon, but not the regular beard, that by the chin, rather the beard of Isimakam of the pubic area. El Shadir B'chacham, it's just that the sages spoke in a clean type of language, where they called it the beard, but it really means it refers to the pubic region, that there, when he has two hairs, up until it totally circles around the area, that's the age bracket for being a Ben Sarimur. Shenem, like it says, the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, Kiyya le'ish ben, which in the Parsha Ben Sarimur, it says that if it's going to be for a man a son, which tells us, first of all, ben v'le bas, it's only if a man has a son, but not a daughter. The halachas ben sarimur only applies to a male, not a female. Moreover, ben v'le ish tells us that if a man will have a son, not a man. Whereas this boy, once he's hikav v'zaken, once the pubic area has a full circle of pubic hair, then he's already considered an ish. Now, although a child, from even when he's a minor, is called a ben, but that's the other halacha of the Mishnah. We cannot make the Ben Sarimur liable before he brings two pubic hairs. Because cut and putter, a minor is always exempt, shalei bo lechla mitzvahs, because he didn't yet come to the category of being obligated in the mitzvahs, and therefore must be his liability for the Ben Sarimur is at least after when he brings two pubic hairs. Now, although generally, once a boy brings two pubic hairs, regarding every halacha in the Torah is considered an ish, an adult, but here, when the Torah is saying that it's ish, v'loy ben, so it is excluding something, obviously it cannot be talking about right when he becomes an adult. As the Gemara will explain, that it must be ben ha-samach l'gvurasei shel ish. It's from the Gemara will explain Yil Ish Ben, is saying that when the Ben will have relationship like an Ish, obviously you see that when he just starts becoming an Ish, he is going to be liable, and the exemption of Ish V'loy Ben, when it has to be for a Ben and not an Ish, is going to be when he's a higher level of an adult, which is when the entire region is covered when it's encircled like a crown. Now the Gemara asks a question which will explain this halacha. The Gemara asks, "Kat menol in the pata." From where do we know that a minor that didn't yet bring two pubic hairs under the age of 13, which we normally assume he brings two pubic hairs, is exempt from halacha as a ben seimar? Ask the Gemara, "Menol," and you're asking, where do we know this from? Kediktani taima, like the Mishnah says the reason. Shleib balachla mitzvahs, because he didn't yet come to the halachas of mitzvahs yet. So, moreover, asks the Gemara and the questioner, Heicha Ashken Chan, where do you find by any other punishments the Anash HaKasab that the Pasuk will punish a minor? The Hachali Bay Krala Miftri, that here you would require a Pasuk to exempt him. What's the Havim? What are you asking? Did we never find that a minor is liable? Says the Gemara, Anan Hachal Kamina. This is what we were saying when we were asking the question. Atu Ben Saira Mara Achatoy Nerik, do you think that the wayward and rebellious child gets killed because of his sins, that we should require that he should be a bar oinch and someone that can be punished? What sin did he do that he should be killed? Because he ate a certain amount of meat and he drank a certain amount of wine? Al-Shem Saifei Nerig. He's killed because of what's ultimately going to be, as the Gemara explains at the end of the paragraph of Ayin Bezim and Aleph, that at the end what's going to happen is he's going to be so used to his needs that he's going to empty out all the money of his father. His father's not going to have any more money that he took everything from him. He's still going to need his fix. He's not going to find it. He's going to go to the crossroads. He's going to murder people. So the Torah says, better that he die now meritorious and not die liable. So our question was, Bekivin al Shem Sefer Nerik, since he's not killed for his sin right now, but rather what's ultimately going to be, a fellow Katanami. So our question was, then even a minor should still be al Shem Sefer, let him die now meritorious and not what's going to be. Then even as a minor, our question was, he should be a Ben Seir Mer. V'oi, moreover, asked the Gemara, as we alluded to in the Mishnah, Ben V'loi Ish, when the Pasuk is telling us, as our Mishnah describes this interpretation, when it says he has to be a Ben and not a man, Katan Mashma, that always sounds like a minor, because the second he brings two pubic hairs, he's already an Ish, and then he can't be a Ben. So how could he be a Ben Seir Mer after that he brings two pubic hairs? To the contrary, a Katan should be Chayv. And that Rabbi Yehuda Ravi says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says like this, says, V'chiyye L'ish Ben, that if there's going to be for a man a son, that's a Seir Omer, which teaches us that V'chiyeh L'ish, when he reaches to the category of an Ish, who? This Ben, then the Pasuk is calling him a Ben Seir Omer. What does that mean? Ben HaSamach L'Gvuras Ish L'ish, it's actually categorizing the person, not that that a father will have a son Ben Seir Omer. When this person, Chiyeh L'ish, when he'll be a man, yet at the same time he'll be a Ben, what does that mean? It's a son that's close to the might of a man. Meaning to say, because he's already an Ish, but not a full-fledged Ish. He's in the beginning, he has two pubic hairs, but he doesn't have yet the entire pubic region encircled with a hair. That's the age bracket that is possible to be a Ben Seir Mer, which is excluding, however, a minor, because he has to be at least an Ish, but not Gvuras Ish Alish, not the total might. Now, which the Mishnah describe is V'at Sheyakov is Kan HaTacht Mechulu. What's up until how long is he Ben Seir Mer after brings two pubic hairs? It's until the entire pubic region is encircled as a beard around that area. Now, Tanya Rebchia taught in his Braisa that regarding the Salacha, that he becomes a Ben Seir Mer from when he brings two pubic hairs, Achiyakif Atara. What does it mean until it circles? Until it circles the pubic region, his hairs, like a crown. And Kiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, he explained this brice of Rav Chiya. What does it mean that until it circles like a crown? It's coming to teach us that the encircling of the lower beard that the Mishnah is talking about refers to Hakafas Gid. It means encircling the male member, which is near the testicles, near the sac. That has to be circled with here. V'loi HaKafas, and not surrounding the sac of the Beitzim of the testicles, which that's actually at a later point in time. So what we're saying is that he could be Ben Seir Mer when he brings two pubic hairs until the male member, the aver itself, is circled with hair, but not up until when the whole sac is surrounded with hair, because that's at a much later stage, and that already, he's not a Ben Seir Mer up until the gid is surrounded with hair. Now, relating to the pasuk we brought before, The Gemara brings the Amar of Chizdi, says, Katan Shahailad, a minor that gave birth to a child, where Rav Chisda holds that a minor, even that didn't bring two pubic hairs, could father a child. So he says that Ein Benoi, that son of that minor, is not Nasa Ben Sarimar, does not become a Ben Sarimar. Why? Shlomi says, read the Pasuk. It says, Ki Yel Ish Ben. That if it's going to be that for a man, he'll have a son, which teaches you L'Ish Ben. Only when you have an adult, who's called the Ish, has a son, that son can become Ben Sarimara. Beloy LeBen, Ben. But not if a son has a son. Meaning, not if a minor has his own child. So if a 10-year-old boy has a child, so he's a Ben. He's not an Ish. Ish is when he becomes 13, two pubic hairs. When he has a son, that son cannot become a Ben Sarimara. Ask the Gemara, which this is why the Gemara brings it, relating back to the previous halacha. What do you mean? Hai mebayle, how could you dash it from ki ish ben? That the father has to be an ish, not a ben. But you need it, look at Rabbi Huda Merav, which we brought before. That this ish is going on the Ben Sarimar himself. The Pasuk is telling you, when the ben is going to be an ish, meaning when the ben reaches the category of ish, which has two pubic hairs, then it becomes a Ben Sarimar, up until Yaakov Zikana Tachtun. But it's not going on the father. So how could Rav Chisda say, L'ish means the father, he's an adult, and then he has a ben, the son could come ben Sarimar. And that has to give our Imkein Le Makrab, but if that would be the case, that the Allah is teaching us like Rav Huda Merav, then the Pasuk should have said, Kiye ben L'ish. That if there's going to be a ben to an ish, which sounds more appropriate to Rav Huda Merav's halacha, which is saying, that when the son is, when this boy is going to be in the category of a man, then he can become Ben Sarimar. My kiyel ish ben, what does it mean when there's going to be for an ish a ben? That sounds like when an ish will have a ben, which is going on the father, which is coming to exclude like Rav Chisda's halacha. If a minor has a son, then the son cannot become Ben Sarimar. Shema manol, Rav Chisda. So therefore, that teaches us, look at the halacha of Rav Chisda. So ask the Gemara, then if that's the case, ve'emakuli, then say the entire pasuk, lahachi hudasa. Yeah, that it's only coming to teach halacha of Rav Chisda, which is excluding the son of a minor. But maybe the minor himself would be liable even as a minor because it calls him a ben. Where do you know this halacha of Rav Huda Merav regarding that, actually to the contrary, that the ben Zemer himself has to be samach l'gevuras ish alish, that he has to be an ish himself? Where do you see that? Ish is not going on him, ish is going on his father. Says the Gemara, no, im kain, because if that would be the case, that the whole pasuk was like Rav Chisda going on the father, then it shouldn't have written a lamed. Rather, name akra, the pasuk should have said, v'chiyah, that if there's going to be ben ish, the son of a man, sarimur, which sounds like the son of a man, and not the son of a minor, that's how the pasuk should have been written. V'chiyah, ben ish, sarimur. My, what does this mean when it says v'chiyah le'ish ben? Why did it say the word le'ish beforehand? So therefore you have to write a lamed. Just say v'chiyah ben ish. The reason why it said le'ish ben, ishmam and the tarti is obviously coming to tell you both halachas, because now both halachas could be understood in the wording. It could be read that when there's going to be a ben for a man, meaning when ben le'ish, when chiyah le'ish ben, that the ben will be an ish, meaning that he's going to reach the gvura of an ish, like Rabbi Huda Merav, and it also sounds like it's going on the father. Kiyel le'ish, when there's going to be for a man that's an adult, a ben, and not that when there's going to be for a minor, a son. So, therefore, from this pasuk, we learn that both halachas, Rabbi Huda Merav, and Rabbi Chisda's halacha, again, that the father has to be an adult, and also that the child himself has to also have reached at least gvura ish, samach gvura ish, he has to have at least two pubic hairs to become a ben sarimar. Now the Gemara tells us that upliga, that this halacha of Rav Chisda, that it's inferential from his halacha, that a minor could father a child, it's just that that type of a child is going to be exempt from being Ben Sarimar, so obviously that a katan could have a child, disagrees with the Rabba, because Amar Rabba says katan ain't a minor, he says that a minor cannot have a child. Shemak, it says a pasuk in Bamidbar, which is told by when someone robs money, and then he swears falsely, saying that he didn't, where it says there earlier that v'svadu es chatos mesha asu, if let's say they admit their guilt for what they did, and he admits, yeah, I really did steal and I lied on oath that I didn't. So it says v'heishav es hashamay b'reish, he has to return hashamay, which hashamay refers to the principle of the gizela, and he has to return it to the victim, to the one that he stole and that he denied it to. Now the pasuk says im ein le'ish goyel. Now let's say that person already passed away, and moreover, that man doesn't even have a redeemer, doesn't even have a relative to return to. So then the pasuk says you got to give it to the kain. The question is, v'chiyesh l'cha adam b'yisrael she'en l'goyel, is there any Jewish person that doesn't have a redeemer? There's no Jewish man that doesn't have a relative redeemer, as long as all the sons of Yaakov, which is the entirety of the Jewish people, didn't pass away, wasn't wiped out. So the closest relative is the relative that's the redeemer. So who is it that there's no relative so that you give it to the kayin? Ella, rather, begez l'hagero kasam adab. Rather, it must be that the Torah is talking about when someone robs from a convert. And then the ger passed away after this one who stole from him swore, and then he later admits, and therefore he's liable in this halacha of gezel hager. Now, the ger doesn't have any inheritors because he's like a katan shenoldim, he's not related to anyone, he's like a whole new person once he becomes a convert. And that, as we continue on top of Samach Tesem and Aleph, v'am rachmana ish. Now, the Torah tells you the word ish. In other words, it doesn't say v'im ein lo goyel, and that if he doesn't have a redeemer. Why does it say v'im ein lo ish goyel, that if the man doesn't have a redeemer? Rather, it's because it says v'im. It says, and if he doesn't have. Which sounds like that even the ger sometimes does have inheritors, because he could have gotten married, had children. So that's why it says ish, to teach you ish. By an adult man ger, that's where you have to be in doubt. Maybe he had children from when he converted, and therefore you're not allowed to remove the principle which is supposed to go to him or his inheritors, his relatives, and give it to the kohen until you know clearly that he doesn't have yerushim. At the tzaruch lachzolav im yesh legoyim malav. By an adult, you have to check, does he have redeemers or not? But that's what the pasuk is teaching us. That's only v'im, that sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, by an adult. But by a minor convert, where there we could assume that all that was stolen from him, which a Jewish person swore falsely, goes to the kayin. There i'at the tzarach lachzolav. There you don't have to check, because if you do a she'en l'goyel, we know clearly it doesn't have redeemers. How do we know? How do we know if a 10-year-old boy who converted from another religion and became a Jew, that then if someone stole from him and swore falsely, when he has to give it back to him as relatives, there's no relatives? And you don't have, and you therefore give it straight to the kayin. And that's why it only says ish. Where there v'im, there sometimes if yes, that he doesn't have, because sometimes he could have, and then you have to make sure. Because Rabba holds, Nalak Rav Chizkiya, that a minor cannot have children, and therefore that's why he explains the pasuk that, which again disagrees with Rav Chizkiya halacha, who he's learning, that the pasuk is telling you by Ben Sari Mara, that l'ish ben, it's only if an adult has a son, but if a minor has a son, he cannot become Ben Sari Mara. Obviously disagrees with that halacha, if a minor could have a child or not.